This is the game for the 35, 6 seconds left. Browns up 5, defend this and beat the Steelers. Russell Wilson to throw. Back to throw. Has time. Hit as he throws. Ball up into the air towards the end zone. Knock it down. Jump ball. Incomplete! Browns win!
Thank you to the Browns Radio Network. The Hail Mary falls short. The Browns get their third win of the season in what was an epic snow globe of a game. I mean, in the standings, I don't know how much it's really going to end up mattering, Perloff, but for that moment and last night, that was a cool game to watch.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it, though, because I was thinking the whole time, I'm going to owe Maggie an apology for this dumb game. Because you said Browns, Steelers, I know it's not the best matchup, but the weather will make up for it. And everyone here said, no, that is such a bad matchup. The weather can't do it. But the weather did it. The weather is undefeated in football. The second half. The first half was a tough watch.
No, it was got awful. And actually, into the third quarter got really sloppy as well. But then 27 combined points in the fourth quarter. And it was a back and forth kind of affair because the Steelers were down 12 points going into the fourth quarter with this terrible weather. Mm. And you're thinking, maybe they're just dead in the water. They score two touchdowns. After not scoring a touchdown for seven quarters, the Steelers score two touchdowns in 2 minutes, end up taking the lead, and then it was like, all right, this is, you know, it's going to be a wacky ending after Jameis Winston fumbled, then threw a terrible pick. I mean, you had the full Jameis Winston experience, but a Nick Chubb touchdown was the difference, and then you just heard the Hail Mary from Russ fell short.
I mean, the Browns were desperately trying to give it away. The Jameis fumble was so bad. The pick wasn't as bad.
I thought the pick was bad, but it's snowing. Who knows?
Actually, the pick worked out well because it was 3rd and 10, and they were probably going to go for it on 4th down and be stuck back at the 40. So it actually pinned the Steelers back at the 20. The Njoku touchdown drop did not end up hurting them, but that was crazy, too. There was just so many moments where the Browns could have put them away and did not, which has made it a great game. You know what, though? I think you mentioned it's not important in the standings. I think we should be careful about having too many takeaways from this game because the second half was defined by the weather, right? Do we agree on that? Or are we saying, because we spent all week debating, are the Steelers a Super Bowl team? I don't think we know really who they are in the playoff picture based on last night.
I don't think so either, because what are the odds you're going to get multiple of those types of games? But one thing I will say, and not to do the I was right because they lost the game last night, but I did like, and I thought they could have done it a lot more and maybe even smarter, I like the Justin Fields changeup that they went with. The problem was I thought the play calling from Arthur Smith, it was like, you had it, you brought it. Okay, so here's the situation. The Steelers are leading 19-18 in the fourth quarter, okay? There's about 4.5 minutes left in the game. As we said, snow globe, it's crazy, snow in your face. Fields comes into the game, change of pace. Najee Harris, runs for 3 yards. Give it to Harris again for another 3 yards. Cleveland calls timeout. So now you're looking at a 3rd and 4, and Justin Fields is your quarterback right now, not Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. You have the lead. You're trying to basically salt the game away slash get one more score to put the game away. They do a deep pass to Pickens.
Yeah, which has been their most consistent, most effective play of the season.
With Russ.
Right.
Not with Fields. But, and it, what happened was the defensive back kind of didn't even really get his head turned around, but he also didn't really inhibit the route, and Pickens ended up falling, and the throw was off anyway, and the whole thing just ended up being incomplete. They have to punt, and then only took a minute off the clock. Cleveland scores a touchdown on the ensuing possession.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're on an island on this one, because I think most people thought Russ was ridiculously good last night, and to take him out of the game destroyed the Steelers. I think that's what I kept reading. I mean, Russ was on fire last night. I don't know where that game came from. That's the best he's played all year.
Well, it's weird the deep ball was working when it's snowing like
everything was working. He barely missed a pass. In the second half, he was great. I give him a lot of credit. And you know what? He was hanging in there. There's one play that really stood out to me. It was 4th down. And he scrambled out to his left, and he was about to get killed by Myles Garrett, found a way to make the play. He was just unbelievably accurate in tough conditions. So I actually think, I'm not sure that they're not going to go the other way and say, you know, Russ is playing so well right now, maybe we just go full Russ and really limit the Fields packages. Because last night they gave Fields a drive. I'm not sure they're going to do that anymore. I don't think they're going to put him in first down. I think they put him in running situations like Taysom Hill.
Right.
But is that what you're talking about? But what do you think of giving it to him on first down and say, this is your drive, Justin?
I think if you're going to do that, just commit to it, right? Like, I know it's tough. That's not maybe 4 down territory because you're at your own 30, so that's a little bit dicey, obviously. But I think if you're going to give, if you're going to put him in the game with the lead, it's like having a closer in some kind of way. Like, I know it was only a 1-point lead, but you can't just all of a sudden then start calling the plays that you would call for Russ if Justin Fields is going to be in the game.
Yeah, but the short yardage running plays were not working all night for
the
Steelers.
It was hard. And credit to the Browns. Their defense really held up on those short yardage situations.
This game came down to fourth down. The Steelers missed multiple fourth downs, and the Browns hit all their fourth downs.
Literally all of them. Four for four.
The Steelers hit one, but they missed three, I think.
The funny part of this game, and we're talking about last night's game, Browns win 24-19 in a snow game that was just fun and sloppy and everything, but the Browns could not convert a third down to save their life. 1 for 10 on third down, 4 for 4 on fourth down. Go fig. Like, only the Browns, only Jameis Winston and the Browns would have some kind of stat line like that.
Well, there was an amazing part toward the end of the game. It got all messed up. There was a play where Jameis got sacked and intentionally grounded the ball. Mm-hmm. They said it wasn't intentional grounding because he got hit. So it was 3rd and 7 and he threw the pick.
Yep.
But they were 4th and 2 and it was a 43-yard field goal, and they were not going to send their field goal kicker out to go for the lead because the conditions were so bad. They didn't even trust Dustin Hopkins to hit a game-winning field goal. They were just committing to 4th down because I think they had a lot of confidence we're going to get this. But I think most people were like, oh, here the Browns are giving away a game. The Browns felt like they were going to lose that game. It felt really... I was trying to live bet that one on the Steelers, going to be totally honest.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any odds. It was still like... Vegas said, oh, Steelers are winning this entire game up until the very last moment.
No way. I didn't know that. I wasn't following it in that way. It's just so funny because even Kirk Herbstreit mentioned it, and Herbstreit is from Ohio. He's like, man, you gave Russell Wilson a minute left in one timeout. Like, this is probably going to go poorly for the Browns, and you know the Browns closed him out.
He had 50 seconds here, and that weather,
with those conditions,
that weather, nothing was happening. Which is, I don't understand how Jameis Winston was completing those passes. I'm shocked still.
Jerry Judy, how about that?
Yeah,
huge
Jerry Judy.
Third down.
I was like, can you have more warm weather players on the field? You have Jameis from Florida State, Judy from I don't know where Judy's from, but
Miami.
Miami, yeah. Dustin Hopkins, I think, is from this. He went to Florida State, right? So you basically have warm weather players who are making these cold weather plays. Jameis looked like he'd been playing in the snow his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, at times. And at times, it looked like he had maybe never seen snow before.
Jameis from Alabama, right?
Jameis from Alabama. Yeah. Judy from Miami, ironically, went to Alabama, of course.
Njoku went to Miami.
Njoku's from Jersey.
He's from Jersey, so no explanation why he couldn't catch the ball.
Oh my gosh, dropping that in the end zone. And Al Michaels had the good call where he said you had the second and third tight end made huge catches on that drive, and here's your number one tight end drops a wide open pass in the end zone. He'll never be that wide open again.
I love when Al Michaels couldn't figure out if a field goal or an extra point went through the, but you couldn't see anything. That was high entertainment.
There was a lot of things they couldn't figure out.
I have that audio, Perloff.
Oh, let's hear it.
28-yard attempt. Cornelius Waitman to put it down. Boswell's kick, if you can find it, is good. I don't know. I lost sight of it. Somebody had a GPS on it. 10-6.
They did another thing where they were, that was awesome, where they put down the broadcast, put down electronic lines on the field. So what would often happen is the running back would go into that electronic line and sort of disappear because...
into the vortex?
Yeah, I used to work in production on those electronic lines you lay on the field. And like if the running back goes to the right place, his leg disappears. So you had like half a Najee Harris on camera. It was great. And then the guy would come out and what were they doing to the lines and shoveling the lines?
Yep.
It was everything promised. And again, we formally owe you an apology, Maggie Gray.
And you guys are talking about, we're going to catch up on the Penguin. I mean, you thought this game was going to be like a homework assignment, and it turned out to be just an awesome... This is the weather games, and I usually get maligned because I say, I'll put everything in a dome. But these are the kind of games that you sort of look for.
It was teetering on the brink, though. The first half was hot garbage. It was cold and rainy, and both teams were not being able to get a first down. I don't really know. I don't know what to make of this because the Browns, their season's over. Like, does this mean anything for them?
So, big takeaways, a couple of them. One, every Browns win is ultimately not a good thing. You are in the area now because you are actually one of the teams that needs to get to the top of the draft for a quarterback.
Nah, I don't know.
That's always got to be in the back of everybody's mind. Now, maybe you end up getting the second overall pick and you get CJ Stroud and this works out for you, or not, and you pass on Bryce Young and
It doesn't feel like it's not a tank for Trevor year, in my opinion. Like,
it's not, but they need a quarterback. So that was
so
one
get
thing.
Get Bo Nix went 12. You'll find a quarterback. This is not a tank year.
It's the Browns. They don't just find quarterbacks. This is honestly, epic for them to find anyone competent at QB.
They'd be better off getting a different kind of quarterback. If they get the number one pick and pick Shedeur Sanders, that would not go well.
Well, I don't know if this is one of Dion's approved teams, but
I would imagine if there's a team that you don't approve, Cleveland Browns is at the top of the list. But regardless, okay.
I mean, it's a graveyard for quarterbacks. But anyway, at least there. So that's one thing. Every win for the Browns, ultimately, not a good thing, even though that was exciting and entertaining for all of us.
Don't agree. That's a Maggie take. I do not agree with that.
Another Maggie take. The one thing about this with the Steelers, so obviously they are going to be a playoff team, and they're still leading the division. It's not that. It's just losing games like this when you should have won that game. Like you said it, the Browns were begging the Steelers to just take the game. I mean, you have back-to-back drives with a fumble and then an interception. Like, you've got to win those games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the Steelers are getting into the real teeth of the tough schedule that we've been waiting for and waiting for with them. So at Cincinnati, Cleveland again, at Philly, at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati.
It all sucks.
This is the part, the no messing around, and you just dropped a game that you should have won.
Right,
so that was another thing.
This is the same season as last year. Last year it was 7-4 and lost games to the Cardinals and the Patriots at home. Tomlin loses to bad teams. He'll probably beat all those teams.
Now, this one's a little forgivable because the weather, but still.
But you saw the weakness with the Steelers, and you hand the ball off to Najee Harris, and you know it's going nowhere.
Jalen Warren is the better option, but sure.
But generally, it feels so much like last year's Steelers to me.
Right. So it's got shades of it, sure, but I just think they're better at QB. So that was another thing with the Steelers. You gave away a game that you should have had. Should have is maybe a strong word, but a game that was there for you to take, and that could come back to bite you because your schedule gets a lot harder now. The third Maggie take out of this is I do think that the Justin Fields short yardage thing can work. Now, it came in, it kind of got a little thrown off in the first half because they brought in Justin Fields in a third down situation. They immediately got a false start. And it's like, oh, the offensive linemen weren't ready for the cadence or the different cadence or something that Justin Fields was using. Did you remember that when that happened?
Yeah, but
so it's like,
okay.
I think they kind of went away from it for a little, got him scared off a little bit, and maybe this is just a thing that's going to work better at home. I don't know where the crowd's not against you, but I do think this could work
and
help them in the red zone.
Who cares?
Help them in the red zone.
I mean, we're talking marginal for a team that is not going to be consistent offensively with Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator, and their defense is great, but I mean, how many games are you going to win 19-17 in this league? I don't know. They're probably going to lose their wild card game for the umpteenth year in a row. Probably play Houston in the first round in Houston. And just, I don't know. I just feel like the same Steelers that people have been complaining about being in this limbo land of good, not great.
Yeah, but they should be able to win that first round playoff game. That should likely be a home game for them if they can finish the season strong, right?
Well, I was actually looking at this. I think if they don't win the division, it depends. If they don't win the division, then it's not a home game because they'll go on the road.
It's just, is there a shot for them to still win the division? They're still on top, and they still have another game against the Ravens who they can beat.
So the highest, I mean, I would think that it's going to be tough with that schedule that you laid out for them to be any higher than the 3 seed. Even that game is going to be tough. I'm not sure. I don't know that this is the year that Tomlin breaks through and wins a playoff game again. I'm not sure. If you put out to Pittsburgh fans, I'll bet you they're worried. It's the same old Steelers.
Well, Greg's in the chat, so the Steelers are done and done in the playoffs. Did he mean one and done? Point taken.
Probably.
855-212-4227. Your thoughts on the game last night. Did you love watching the snow? I think the obvious answer is yes there. Of course, do you think the Justin Fields change-up can work? EJ, look, you want to say something about this game?
I just feel like we saw why the Steelers are going to waste everybody's time in the postseason. Like, I just feel like that's the kind of game where you're playing against a miserable Browns team that dominated them for the first half. Because, like, as bad as the football was, the weather wasn't as bad in the first half, and the Browns were out playing the Steelers. And because the Steelers' offense, even though Russell Wilson, I think, was 11 for 13 in the first half, for some reason, like, they make plays and complete passes, but it leads to no points. And I just think when you play against the top teams, or you're playing Josh Allen, or you're playing Lamar, or you're playing the Chiefs, there's just no chance this is winning football in playoffs. It's playoff time. I know we think, oh, defense, cold weather. Well, there you go. Cold weather game, snow. You couldn't beat Jameis Winston. Get this team out of here. They're not a real playoff team. They're not. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be a team that would say, oh, Mike Tomlin, the mystique of the Steelers. Do they upset, you know, the Chargers or something in the first round? Maybe. Are they going on anywhere? No. And I think until they find a real quarterback, a future, you know, franchise kind of guy, I think this is going to be what they are.
Listen, I understand. It's a fair point. I understand you're not going to be like trying to get better when your schedule gets this hard, like trying new things. But don't you think there's a possibility their red zone offense can become better at some point? It can't get any worse. It's so bad. And Arthur Smith did at one point, their offensive coordinator, did have a good red zone offense when he had Derrick Henry. What's the common denominator? You got to keep running the ball.
Well, the thing is, they don't run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
Well, last night it was tough.
I mean, this year.
Miles Garrett was on one.
Najee Harris is averaging 3.9 yards per carry this year. It's just not, they're really not that effective as a running team. The other thing, too, is in the playoffs, it's become very clear what's going on with the Steelers. They're such a one-trick pony. Yeah. Their offense is a lob to George Pickens. You don't think someone's going to double-team George Pickens in the playoffs? So
where was Mike Williams last night? He's not healthy?
They said he was banged up during the game.
There's no Mike Williams. That's not happening. That's their one play that works is throwing a lob to George Pickens.
Man, they were connected to every wide receiver under the sun in the offseason. It is such a shame that the Steelers never actually got any of those guys. Like, I know Ayuk ended up getting hurt, but still, Ayuk, Cooper. Well, Cooper probably wasn't going to happen in division, but any of these guys, Davante Adams, anybody.
I don't know that it matters. I honestly think this is a Mike Tomlin team. I'm not sure that he's going to allow the offense to open up in any real way. EJ had a good point, like maybe get a new quarterback. Like they're overdue a rebuild offensively or a rehaul, and they're kind of playing like same old Steelers.
Well, where's the quarterback coming from? You're picking in the 20s.
They tried picking at 21. I don't know.
That's kind of why I think this Russ season, that's been a good season. I know it sounds like a diss to him, but I think he's playing really well for them. Yeah. In some ways, I think it's like the worst thing that could have happened. Because now I think you have no choice but to like sign him to a multi-year deal and go with this for a couple of years. And I just don't know where that takes you. If you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
35.
If Russ could still run, if he could run like he used to, man, he'd be effective right now. But he ran once and got a first down. The announcer's like, whoa, did you see that?
He also got pile drive by Miles Garrett a couple times.
Fountain of youth. No, he got the sideline once. He really has slowed down tremendously.
Well, and especially in the snow, that's not going to work. 855-212-4227.
He's 35. He's not 100. He should still be able to scramble a little more than he is. But, yeah, I worry for our Steelers. I grew up loving the Steelers. Like, they're the AFC. Everybody who wasn't an AFC team loved the Steelers, and there's a mystique about them. But, man, they're just in this limbo. Four straight opening round playoff losses since 2017, and it kind of feels like they might be headed that way again.
All right, you can weigh in. Steelers, Browns, we're on in both cities. We got Steeler fans all over this great country. I'm sure some transplanted Browns fans all over the place, too.
Mr. Unlimited.
Let us know what you think, yes.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, Miles Garrett is healthy and runs fast. What's going on with that dude?
That dude, he was
How terrible he's been this year?
Well, yeah, but I think he gets up for these T.J. Watt games. Like,
yeah, I just
head-to-head, sort of.
Where is that Browns defense? You know, they've been mediocre at best, and all of a sudden their defense looks like fire last night. Is this just getting up for a division rival, and then they're going to go away again?
Probably. 855-212-4227. All right, Maggie and Perloff, off and running on this Friday. We want you to be a part of the show. We're going to do picks later in the show. Nick Costos will join us later in the show. We've got so much to do, including speaking of someone who was on one yesterday, this is an all-timer even from Dion. Like, this guy keeps surprising us. I don't know how. We got a lot of good college games this weekend. We're going to preview them all.
Do you believe that?
Don't move. All right, Perloff's in a good mood today. You want to know why? Two words. Prize Picks. The best place to get real money sports action while you watch football, while you watch the NBA, college football. All you got to do, download the Prize Picks app. It's so easy to use, and this is how it works. You pick two or more players across any sport. You pick more or less on their projection. You can win up to 100 times your money. Guys, in short, it's daily fantasy, and it rocks.
There are so many sports going on right now. Of course, the first thing I do when I wake up is check my Prize Picks app. And tonight, you could bet on Daniel Berger, how many strokes he will have, the golfer today. You can bet on e-games. You can bet on these strange MAC games where you see the quarterback's name and you're like, I don't even know what team he's on. But
I love those.
Yeah, no, tonight is going to be super fun. Every night is fun. It's a blast. Again, first thing I do when I wake up, open my Prize Picks app, see how I did in the late game. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app and use code MNP, and you get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly for playing just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I think I have this right. Did you know that Mike Tomlin, the Steelers coach, has never won Coach of the Year? That's what I believe. Someone fact check that. Regardless, he is now getting a lot of buzz for Coach of the Year. And people are saying last night, like Steelers fans are saying, oh, we blew the Coach of the Year for Tomlin last night, but you can't lose to the Browns and be Coach of the Year. I totally disagree. I feel like this is a...
Is that like a stock thing? It's like, well, you can't lose to the Browns. How Stefanski keeps winning because he's actually the coach of the Browns?
Well, the argument is that Coach of the Year would not lose to one of the bottom five teams in the league. But I disagree. I feel like where the NFL is right now, all these bottom five teams in division, like good teams are going to lose these games. Like people forget the last back end of the final nine of the NFL season, there's going to be like 50 games like this where I'm sure the Chiefs are going to drop a game that they shouldn't. Like remember last year the Chiefs lost to Raiders. So my point is like don't read too much into the Browns beating the Steelers. This is a tough divisional game. The Browns still stink and the Steelers are still good. Now the debate is how good. Super Bowl good or just get to the playoffs good?
We are putting that out on X for you at Maggie and Pearl. Steelers still keeping hope alive. They could be a contender or, as EJ said in the first segment, get them out of here. 855-212-4227, paraphrasing. Josh is in Pennsylvania. You're up first here on Maggie and Pearl. Off. Hey, Josh. Joshy.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Hey, so with the weather last night, how are we feeling that as a little preview with the college football playoff games coming up with all these northern teams?
Love it.
I live in the Northeast. It snowed once in 4 years, so I wouldn't definitely guarantee that, Josh.
Yeah, as a Penn State guy, I would love to see these teams like Georgia and these SEC teams have to come up and play in the snow when they've never seen snow, possibly. But sometimes these games are just on a fluke play. And so, like, as a Penn State guy, like, hosting the game, it kind of makes me nervous, too.
How many inches do you need for James Franklin to beat a top 10 team? Like, 3.5 feet of snow? Like, a real whiteout?
I'm from Erie, so we're used to the snow belt and all the lake effects, so I don't know how much he's used to it himself.
Yeah, so if the college football playoff was today, Penn State would be hosting Georgia. That's a great question. How many inches of snow would it take for that to tilt into Penn State's favor in a real way for James Franklin? I think 5.
I mean,
maybe 7. Josh, thank you.
I would not count on snowy weather these days. It's rained once in a month here in New York City. Like the odds of.
Yeah, but New York City's not getting a game.
Yeah, State College.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, Penn State, Indiana. All those would have home games if the college football playoffs started today. All basically in the Midwest, except for Penn State, is technically in the Northeast. This would be last night.
It's not going to be last night.
It's not lake effect, but it's Midwest. It's bitter cold in the Midwest.
No, it's going to be 45 degrees and dry at all these games, which is probably pretty bad. You think it's going to be snowing in Columbus in December? It probably won't.
Can we check a farmer's almanac or something? I don't know how to prove you wrong here, but I don't know also how you're proving me right. Like we both don't know what the weather is going to be.
Yeah. But no. But everyone's assuming, oh man, that Georgia and Alabama is going to have to play in conditions like last night. The odds are quite thin that it's going to snow like that, right?
This is
episodes of Thunder Snow.
Yeah, it might.
This is where I think Bogish is going to quit the show.
Wait, what do you think the odds are? Like 1 in 10 chance that it snows for these games? That's not a reason to bet on Penn State to advance to the Final Four.
No, I'm just shaking my head because you are making declarative statements with negative backing.
You live in the Northeast.
Who do you think you are? The NFL?
Shovel? Have you gotten your Bill. Shovel out? You think that the weather?
Which one of these games being played in Franklin
Square,
Long Island?
Columbus, Ohio, is that different than? It's not Fairbanks, Alaska.
No one said it was Fairbanks, Alaska, but it's probably going to be cold, and maybe it's going to snow when these games go on. That's all anyone said.
Well, think about it. When you see the game, right, Ohio State, Michigan, there's usually some flurries. Maybe it's not like that. I mean, last night was an all-timer. That kind of snow, it was accumulating on, like, Mike Tomlin's brim of his hat. You could, like, measure the snow. That was a unique lake effect situation. But it's definitely going to be
how
freezing.
Many snow, again, get three. How many snow games do you think there are in the year, NFL?
Like three.
Yeah. So what are the odds? There's like 500 games and three of them. Yeah. The odds are thin that Georgia is going to have to play in 3 inches of snow.
It'll still be cold, though.
Yeah, it'll be cold. But even so, it's a lot different. Like, I think that I watched him on my Twitter feed. It's like, oh, man. Last night, Albert Breer was like, I can't wait to see how Georgia and Alabama play in weather like this. I'm like, who? Albert Breer is an NFL writer who went to Ohio State. I'm like, I wanted to say, dude, you're not necessarily getting weather like that. But that's the sort of storyline out there, that Georgia's going to have to go into these Alaska-like conditions and, like, bring – they're going to have to get there by mush dog. Well, it's probably going to be 48 degrees and dry. Well, that's maybe, the most likely scenario.
Maybe, but it's not playing in the Superdome, you know? It's not that. So it's something.
Right. Like, in my lifetime, have I seen Georgia play an important game in winter?
No, but Breer's like, it's going to be like, all right, let's see how Carson Beck does with weather like that last night. I just think there's some presumption on the Big Ten teams that they're going to get complete a weather apocalypse. Well,
maybe my big thing is most of these teams, like Penn State, Indiana, Ohio State, don't play in snow. So we keep assuming that they're also going to be good in snow. Yeah. I don't think that's a great assumption.
EJ, where are their players from, too?
Yeah, well, Ohio State, how many players do they have in Florida? I mean, give me a break.
Like, the whole team.
Yeah, like, to me, it's like nobody's played in December. Like, even at Ohio State, they're playing November games. Maybe they get, like, flurries in the last game of the season in Michigan. Otherwise, they never see snow. You don't know what's going to happen when Georgia plays Penn State in the snow. Penn State will probably still get crushed.
Yeah, it's not like Georgia isn't built to run the ball and play defense either. Like, I think it might be a good thing if Carson Beck drops back less. Anyway.
Don't you always look at this, though? I know I do, but that's probably because I, you know, have my rooting interests with the Buffalo Bills. Whenever they draft somebody, I always immediately look like, obviously, where do they go to college? Where do they grow up? And did they play any cold weather games? Or are they going to get to Buffalo and all of a sudden be like, what the hell? Because it's tough. It's happened with guys before. I don't think Marcell Dareus had ever played in weather that was below 55 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
And there's probably a lot of reasons why he was a bust, but I think that one of it was one of them.
So Keon Coleman, any cold weather experience?
He went to Michigan State. It was it was amazing.
Well, by the way, Josh Allen, I know he went to Wyoming. He grew up in the desert.
Yes, I know.
I've been there. He literally grew up like on an olive farm.
Yeah, so, but then he went to Laramie, and it's 60 mile an hour winds is like normal. Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
EJ Manuel?
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that.
That's like the one with the Eagles draft Carson Wentz, where like he's used to playing outdoor cold weather, but he played in a dome his entire college career. So you have no idea. I think that's a hard way to predict, because you always say your Bills team plays like an indoor team.
Well, not this year, but enough about the Bills. We're talking about cold weather. We're talking about last night, snow globe game. Yeah. Awesome. And are we going to get some of this for the college football? The new playoff has four teams hosting first round games. And if the playoff ended today, it's all cold weather teams.
And the narrative I'm seeing is most Big Ten fans think that the weather is their only super weapon. And that's how Penn State getting out of this game. And by the way, Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten title game. Are they?
Well, that's inside.
Yeah. How many outdoor games are they going to actually play? I don't know that this narrative is going to carry through.
By the way, for you looking numbers, Pearl, this would actually help you. Last year in December, it looks like Pennsylvania got, I'm looking at 3 inches of snow for the whole month.
Of course.
Yeah, it's different now than when we were kids.
It feels that way. I don't want to get into that topic.
That's for another show.
Yeah,
according to weather.gov.
What do they know?
3 inches.
Sorry.
3 inches is enough to take Jalen Milroe off his game. Can you imagine? He's from Houston. He's never seen snow.
Just need a dusting. That's all.
Yeah. By the way, I personally... I know we got to get to the update. Penn State and Indiana are ranked way too high anyway. They should not be hosting these games. That's all I will say, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Really big game this weekend. Indiana going to the Horseshoe. We'll get more into it next, but Bogus has headlines. Hi.
And they're sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to LinkedIn.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. Bogus. I'm still glad I went to bed at halftime, but it does feel like Maggie was right. Thursday night football gave us fourth quarter drama in a snow globe and the full Jameis Winston experience.
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
That was pregame.
I believe him.
Yeah,
I don't think this is an act.
That was pregame. He was just warming up after the Browns rallied for a 24-19 win over the Steelers. Jameis added this.
It was beautiful for these fans, man. I appreciate everybody that came out here in these conditions, and I just pray that everyone gets home safely. All right, please celebrate. All right, but please get home safely.
Call them when you're home. Just text them that you made it. Winston ran for the touchdown that gave his Browns an 18-6 lead early in the fourth, but then the Steelers scored twice in 100 seconds for a one-point lead. But then Nick Chubb scored from 2 yards out with 57 seconds left. Grant Delpit knocked down a Russell Wilson Hail Mary for the 24-19 victory. That's how the Steelers' five-game win streak ends. Russ assumes they'll be okay.
I think the biggest thing is that, you know, in any moment, you know, we got a lot of football left. We got a lot of opportunities to respond in the highest way, highest level. I think that, you know, everything that we want is still in front of us.
The Steelers are in Cincinnati after this mini bye. They are still a game ahead of the Ravens in the loss column atop the AFC North.
We are desperately missing a Russell Wilson catchphrase.
Well, you gave him one. He just didn't take it.
Let's meld, or what was it?
Let's weld.
Let's weld. Yeah,
be
no,
careful,
it's not going to work. No, I think so. I think if he continues to play well, one's going to come. It's just going to come out of him. He's going to stick with it. I think he's going to have one. I mean, he looked up. That's, by the way, one of the best Russ games I've ever seen in my life last night. I can't believe some of the throws he made.
Mr. Unlimited. But,
I mean, if he couldn't get a catchphrase after they won their fifth in a row, maybe the one's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Has he learned his lesson?
I think that's what's happened.
I think you might be
said,
right.
Hey, you got to cut that out, man.
Maybe he's had like 10 and just like workshopping them. Like, no,
that's
no.
Secret.
Yeah, there's probably a conversation in Mike Tomlin's office where Russ is like, how about this one? And he's like, nope. How about this one? Nope.
Maybe Tomlin's like, leave that stuff to me. Like,
yeah, I'm the worst guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy.
You know I'm a degenerate.
I'm the one who knocks when it comes to the catchphrase.
Brock Purdy and his shoulder again limited at Niners practice yesterday. Kyle Shanahan says his QB did do more in that workout than Wednesday's, but there are still multiple hurdles to clear before Purdy plays Sunday at Lambeau. The Lakers' six-game win streak and perfect start at home are over, thanks to Anthony Davis and Franz Wagner.
Magic going to have a shot to tie or win it. Franz backs away. Now Redditch. Wagner step back. Three ball is up. It's in! Franz stuck it! 119-118. 2.5 seconds on the clock. Timeout, Lakers.
The Franz Wagner go-ahead three coming after Davis missed two free throws. Orlando stealing a 119-118 win in L.A. Wagner scored 15 of his 37 in the fourth. The Spurs won their second in a row without Wemby and his bruised knee, 126-118 over the Jazz. And the Raptors topped the T-Wolves, 110-105. R.J. Barrett scoring 31.
He's so good.
I was just going to say, somehow that made Manny be confident and cocky in the newsroom this morning.
71% shooting from the field. I am right about R.J. Barrett.
Oh, this is I was right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have an agenda.
How many dunks in that mix? He's the only 6'7 guy who can't dunk the ball.
Wait, also, wasn't he in the trade for OG? Your team's so much better with OG.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm still correct about RJ. I had an agenda, and I'm sticking to it. And you know what? Go RJ.
He's the most boring player.
Well, all right.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. Who cares? You're one of your best players on the Sixers. He does TikTok dances for likes and stuff after you guys go 2-12 to start the season.
By the way, on Prize Picks tonight, Jared McCain, if you want to get in on that, 18.5 points. Oh. You can go more or less on that, upper, more than, less than.
Mand P.
Yes, use the promo code.
I do share Maggie's confusion. What do you think you're right about if you agree that OG Anunoby makes the Knicks better than RJ Barrett
did? There's just a lot of conversation about the type of player that RJ Barrett is. Some people think he's a bum. I think he's a very good basketball player, and he's continuing to show that up north. So.
But you're happy he's on the Knicks.
When you say a lot of conversation,
I'm gonna walk away, Maggie.
Okay. I mean, a lot of conversation in some circles, not like in America.
When you get into Knicks Twitter, Maggie, it feels like you're in a vortex. It feels like nothing else exists.
So. I'm a conscientious objector. I've seen it. I've done it. I don't think it leads us to a productive place. Back to you, Bogus.
Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge are unanimous MVPs. Ohtani is the 12th to win three in a four-year span and just the second to do it within the first 7 years of his career. Men's college hoops in the Bahamas. Number 13, Baylor, outlasting number 22, St. John's. 99-98 in double OT, a buzzer-beating three from former Duke guard Jeremy Roach. And the Washington Capitals said yesterday Alex Ovechkin's out 4 to 6 weeks, a broken left fibula that pauses his pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. Then they lost to the Avalanche at night 2-1.
Wait, that broken fibula, 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, I got a crack in the bone.
Doesn't that feel like that should be like a lot longer injury?
I'm guessing it's not a terrible break.
Yeah, broken leg sounds serious. And by the way, why'd you bury it? You got me so into the Ovechkin story, and now you're sort of putting it on a hold?
You wanted it ahead of Franz Wagner?
Well, no, I mean, just saying, like, this was a huge narrative that he was going to top Gretzky. You were building a lot of excitement out there in the audience.
And Bogus' fault, he got hurt.
And maybe I put it last, so you'd have a chance to respond to it right here.
No, I just think that's sad, because I was really excited to do the Ovechkin tops Gretzky thing. Now we have to wait. Is he ever going to do it? I love asking Bogus hockey.
Maybe not this year.
Questions
now.
Like he's Pierre Maguire.
I love also how you feel like Bogus can definitely see the future when it comes to hockey, but when it comes to the weather, it's just like, no, I know what's going to happen.
Bogus, what do you think about Mika Zibanejad and how this will affect the play in March?
Yes. RJ Barrett's good.
No, Perloff's right. This is kind of a bummer because this could have been a really fun thing, and now it feels like it's definitely getting punted to next season.
By the way, another win for, like, hockey tough guys. Like, this guy was just playing, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, he's out. We got to figure out what's going on. Oh, his leg is broken.
It's always like that with hockey. It's like, no, he was decapitated, actually, back in upper training body camp. Injury. It's funny. He still played three games, but shoot that ahead. So odd. No, hockey players are insane. Bogus, thank you so much. We've got a lot to do, including, as I said, major, major college games this weekend. Deion Sanders is in full effect. We bring it all to you next.
Daily. Do you believe that? Deion. You believe that?
Check in with Deion Sanders, Colorado Buffalo's massive, massive game this weekend against Kansas. Kansas have been, Perloff, the Big 12 killers. BYU, Iowa State, they've just been ending, or not ending for BYU, but they've been throwing a wrench into some college football playoff hopes for a lot of teams. Now, Kansas is hosting this game, but it's not on campus. It's actually at Arrowhead Stadium, which is also a little bit different. So, Colorado, 16th ranked team, and Travis Hunter is now and has been the favorite for the Heisman Trophy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying, do they need to win out for him? Does it affect the wins
and
losses?
For the Heisman, I don't think so, but they must win out to make the college football
playoff. Yeah, I heard an interesting take. Travis Hunter, because if he has a bad game wide receiver, he's still the best cornerback on the planet. So
I think he's got it.
He's got it, because he can't have a bad game like a quarterback. Cam Ward can throw four picks. I don't think, what could Travis Hunter do that's bad?
Well, here's the thing. He could get hurt, and Ashton Jenty could, continue to rush for 200 yards a game or score four touchdowns in a game or something like that. I think that's probably his biggest competition. Maybe EJ's pick is Cam Ward. Possible, but I think now it's Hunter or Jenty would be my guess.
Yeah, the loss to Georgia Tech makes it tough for Cam.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear from Deion, because he was on one yesterday. First, he was talking about Travis Hunter. And he was talking about not just the Heisman, but all the awards that the two-way star should win, including one that Deion just made up.
I mean, he should win the Thorpe Biletnikoff, the Jerry Rice, the Prime Award. He should win every darn award that you got. Matter of fact, why don't they have me an award, Rick? Wouldn't that be good if a player that played for me win the Prime? Yeah, they should. They're the best corner in the college football. They should be called a Prime.
God, I would rather die than have to be in the media member in Colorado fake laughing at Dion press conferencings. I'd rather be any job on planet Earth than that. Is that the worst? You guys have all had to do it. Ugh. That's a good one, Dion.
Are you okay, Pearl?
So salty.
No.
Oh my goodness.
That was a very specifically enough. You heard that media laugh. Manny heard it, right? Like, that was like, oh God. It's not even Dion's line. It's the media. Oh God, you're so funny, Dion. That sucks.
Dion's number one hater.
Oh, I like Dion. I just hate the everybody.
How phony it all feels.
Yeah. Any press conference, like any coach gets up there, like I'm sure.
How that happens every
Tomlin. Time. Tomlin gets a lot of fake laughs. Yeah, I don't care about the Dion stuff. I'm just saying the media has to fake laugh at a line. That was like, what, a B-minus dad joke? Why is there a Dion award? And I get it because you're like kind of so nervous to get through this like press conference. You've probably fake laughed at a press conference.
I've definitely fake laughed at a press conference. But here's the thing. Usually press conferences are so boring. It's like paint drying. That you're just so happy when someone says something somewhat interesting. Like, it was like Rex Ryan was doing high comedy out at the Jets. That was such a relief. He'd come out wearing wigs and stuff. Like, this is Dion, might as well be Nate Bargatze. Like, that's as good as it gets. Because coaches are generally not funny.
I kind of thought it was a funny line.
You were laughing.
For Dion, was that really a good line for Dion, though?
It was kind of...
He says funnier things five times a day than that.
The idea that he's naming actual people and then he says Prime Award, I found that funny. I was like,
also,
they'll probably call it the Deion Sanders if they do, not call it the Prime Award.
The other part, too, is it'd be a little hard for Travis Hunter to win the Jerry Rice Award considering that's given out to an FCS student. That's not FBS. This is a different division. That wasn't all that was on the docket yesterday for Colorado. Again, big game coming up against Kansas in Arrowhead this weekend. They got a huge commitment yesterday from Julian Lewis. They call him Juju Lewis, one of the top quarterbacks for the next class, Perloff. Here was Julian Lewis, Juju, on the Pat McAfee show, taking a picture with Shador, and Shador is handing him the keys to a car, and following him at CU.
I mean, of course, it was big for me just coming in after Shador, just seeing what he's done to Colorado and what he's turned it into. But, it's definitely a blessing getting put in this position to come in after him and with his dad. I mean, I couldn't beat it.
More from Juju Lewis. The opportunity to compete for QB1 is what convinced him to go to Colorado.
Coach Prime's always said, like, the best man's going to play, and that's really what I wanted, was to be able to come in and compete, start as a freshman. I mean, I wouldn't have much fun sitting on the bench, so I was like, I want to come in somewhere I can get a chance to play, so he's going to let me compete for that. That was big for me.
Manny, poor Juju.
Juju Lewis already has, I think, 6 corporate sponsors, NIL deals already.
Like, of course he does.
I was wondering, what is the paycheck and where is that money coming from for Colorado? Where was he going to go? USC before? So, man, something's going right there. But is Dion going to wait around for a freshman quarterback? I kind of curious how this is going to work out.
Well, that's the interesting part. Yeah. Because the Dion NFL stuff has been really picking up a lot of steam, even though Dion consistently says he does not want to coach in the NFL. It's like no one believes him. And so now that he's got a top quarterback coming to replace Shador, does this mean he's definitely staying at Colorado?
That's the implication, right?
Well, the other part, too, is I don't know how many big jobs are going to open up that seem like an obvious place for Dion to go. Florida has given the vote of confidence to Billy Napier. That was going to be an opening maybe that could have been there for Dion. I don't think Florida State's moving on for Norvell, and maybe that ship sailed anyway.
Maybe next year, though.
Possible.
Yeah.
Maybe he brings Juju Lewis
with
him.
Maybe LSU? Maybe if Lane Kiffin moves around there. I mean, well, actually, I guess Ole Miss would not be that big of an upgrade. I don't, you know, maybe not this year, but next year there could be. Plus, I mean, he keeps saying no to the NFL. Does he protest too much? I mean, if
that Shador, Cowboy job's going to be open.
If Shador goes to a place with a coaching vacancy, wouldn't he be tempted just to coach his son? That I feel like is the only special sauce that would make him jump.
It kind of would track with Deion, just because I don't think Deion would trust another coaching staff maybe to coach his son. Maybe he does. I don't know. But he's been Shador's coach whole time.
Exactly. It feels like such a natural fit. But he keeps saying, what was his line the other day? Put a kickstand on this one?
Yeah, he's got a kickstand down in Colorado. Something like that. Oh, that Deion. Perloff's had enough. That came out of nowhere.
I wish everybody was watching the video just to see Pearl and his disdain for that laughter.
YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Coming up, a lot for you.